Amen. God is good. Amen.
Yeah.
All the time. Hallelujah. I was thinking about when Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Man, it's powerful right there. It's powerful. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. Joshua, chapter number 4. Very interesting passage of Scripture. A lot of things that we're taught, we kind of overlook the details. And how many of you know God's all about the details? God doesn't just do something to do something. He does it in detail. Amen? In Joshua chapter number 4, I just want to start verses 1 through 3 is where we'll start. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for the freedom we have to come worship you in spirit and in truth, Father, Lord. And for right now, for this hour, for tonight, Father, I ask you just to anoint my lips, Father God. Anoint my voice, Father God, Lord. Everything that I say, may it uplift and glorify you, Father God. Anoint the ears to receive your word and anoint our hearts, Father God, to go and to do your word and not be hearers of your word only, Father God. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If I had a title for tonight's message, it would be, Don't Forget to Remember. Don't forget to remember. A lot of times, we're very forgetful people. As much as we try to remember something, we as humans are forgetful. Amen. We forget things. Amen. I forgot this. I forgot that. A lot of times we can forget what God does for us. Amen. And we look back on our life and we don't understand how we got to where we are. And we forget the details that God tells us to remember. Well, right here we look and we see where an altar was built for nothing more than remembrance. It was an altar of remembrance to look back on to be able to remember what happened. And as I was studying this and as I was looking and I was really reading in depth, I started looking back on my own life. And I started looking at the things that's happened in my life. And each and every family member that is part of my family, close family, my wife, my sons, I can remember a time in their life where God did something and I forgot about it later. Amen? We're all like that. I remember Lazarus when Lazarus was about, I don't know, he wasn't very old. He was about 6, 7, 8 months old. Tabitha knows better than me because I'm the dad, you know. And I remember he was our firstborn. And you know how when you have the first baby, you're always worried about him and you're tolling about him and you carry him just this way and you treat him like just a bunch of eggs. You know, I'm going to break him and you got to hold him, you got to support the head and you got to hold him just right. And I remember we would feed him and every time we fed him, it would come right back. And we were so beside ourselves. We're new parents. Well, what are we supposed to do? She takes him to the doctor. The doctor says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's the matter with this child. What do we do? And finally, we take him to the right doctor. We prayed, God, give the doctors wisdom. And the doctor that we took him to was a Christian doctor. And he looked at Lazarus and said, I know exactly what's wrong with this child. They went in and did surgery on him. And let me tell you something, the boy eats. The boy eats. Amen. He might not look at it, but he eats. And I went back out on that just today, and I remembered what God did for us back then. As we were young, listen, we were young. We didn't know what to do, but we knew to trust God. Amen. Gabriel, I remember Gabriel when he was, I can't remember how old he was. He was allergic to ants. That wasn't the only thing that happened. The boy's allergic to onions too. But I remember the ant situation because I was so far away. I was 90 miles away from him, and he had gotten to a bunch of ants. And I remember Tabitha calling me up. She was hysterical. Something's wrong with Gabriel. I think he's dying. Well, that's a call you don't want to get when you're 90 miles from home.
And I remember my truck wouldn't run but 77 miles an hour. And I had it on the floor going down the interstate saying, Lord, please let me run faster. It's one of them, if I could have run 170, I would have. God, you got to help me get there. And I'll never forget, I stopped. I knew I couldn't make it in time before she got to the hospital. I stopped on the side of the road in the rest area. And I said, God, if you will just help my son and you'll save him, I know you can do it. And I remember getting to the hospital, and Gabriel was covered from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with these red, like, webs. And the doctor told Tabitha, said, I've never seen somebody have such a severe reaction and live through it, because God brought him through it.
Amen.
That was another altar. Amen. I remember when my wife had to have open heart surgery. And I remember being at the lowest point in my life, thinking, you know, it can't get any worse. You know, you think you're in this thing all by yourself. It feels like you're in a dungeon. You're all by yourself. And I remember the nurse called me, and she said, Mr. Arnold? I said, yes, how's everything going? Because, you know, I'm worried. Well, we've got her heart out on the table, and we're working on it. You know, it's like, what? She's like, don't panic, everything's okay. And I remember how God brought her out of that, and how I should have made an altar right there. And I remember how I try to worry about things, how I try to worry about my family, try to worry about how God's going to take care of them. But I don't go back and I look at the altar of remembrance that I should have set up back then. Because sometimes we have to go back and remember what God did for us to be able to go back and get the strength to say, God, I know you can do it. The old song says, He'll do it again. He did it before, just like in days of old, and He'll do it again. You see, the children of Israel right here, what's fantastic to see is, they were 5 days short of being 40 years roaming around in the wilderness. They were 5 days short. The other thing you have to realize is that this happened on the ninth day of the month, 9 days after Moses had died. They were sorrowful. They were fearful. Listen, their leader was gone. They didn't know what to do. And they were absolutely mourning. They had 30 days of mourning they could go through, and they were just starting to break off into the mourning. I can imagine looking upon those 40,000 plus people and seeing nobody smiling. Everybody was somber. Everybody was like, well, what's going to happen now? What are we going to do now? What's going to take place now? And I imagine they were kind of lost and looked at each other. We've been wandering for 40 years. Listen, I don't know about y'all, I'm just a little over 40 years old, and if I'd been wandering my whole life in the wilderness, I'd be looking like I was lost too. Where do we go now? This man that we saw go up to the mount and bring back the Ten Commandments, this man that we saw that the cloud went by day and the light went by, the pillars of light went by night. We followed him through everything. We went through the waters of Marah, they were bitter, and that God made them sweet. We went through all of this stuff. We were coming out of Egypt. That was so long ago, but we can still remember the bad things that happened in Egypt. And God brought us out of Egypt not to just bring us here. And here we are. Here we are. What do we do now? Can you feel that deep sense of mourning? Them saying, what are we going to do now? But I want you to watch what God says to Joshua. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, take ye 12 men. Go back a little bit further. Go back into Joshua chapter number 3, verse number 10. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. When I read that the other night, I thought, my goodness, the ark of the covenant represented the very presence of God. The closer I can get to the presence of God, the better off I'm going to be. Hallelujah. The closer I can get to the presence of God, to the ark of the covenant, hallelujah, the more I can get into His presence, the more that God's going to start doing for me and start making everything work out for me. The further I get away from Him is when I start getting in trouble. Amen. I start getting, oh, woe is me, what am I going to do? But when I have my eyes focused on God and seeing what He's going to do, I know that I can trust in Him. Amen? Because He's done it before, and He'll do it again. How many times has He ever failed you? He ain't never failed you. I can answer that question for you. And He's not fixing to fail you. If there's one thing that God cannot do, God cannot fail. God cannot fail. Somebody needs to hear that. God cannot fail you. Amen? He cannot fail you. He can't do it. In verse number 12, "Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, and out of a tribe every man." And verse number 13, "And it came to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth," there it says it again, "the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap." I want to give you a visual picture of what's going on here. The children are trying to cross Jordan. The water is flooded. The Bible says in that time of the year, the water was flooded. In other words, they were outside of her banks. It's easy to see now as we go look at different rivers after all this rain we had last week, and to look and we see how everything's just flooded out of its banks. They come across this and they say, "All right, it's flooded. There's nowhere for us to pass. We have to get through here because the promised land's on the other side. What's been promised to us for 40 years is on the other side. We came out of Egypt in bondage, and we're free. And we've seen God do some mighty miraculous things, but can He do it again?" And Joshua said, "You better believe He can do it again." And isn't it amazing that it wasn't any person. It was the priest that carried the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the details come. Touched the sole of their foot to the water. The water parted. Now listen to me. It wasn't that the water just parted a little bit. Let me show you what the miracle was. The Bible said the water parted back and it stood up in a heap. And the Bible also said that was the Lord of all the earth. God said, "Get over this way," and it had to get over that way. Somebody's not hearing what I'm saying. God said, "Stop," and it stopped. When God says stop, it stops. It doesn't keep going. When the water comes in, the enemy comes in like a flood, God says, "You know what? I'm going to lift up a standard, and you're not coming anymore, devil. You're not going to do anymore." And it got a little bit better than that. I got into a little bit more of the details of that. This sorrowful people, as the priest that were carrying the ark, their souls touched the water. The waters parted. How far did they part? Who knows? It was enough to let 40,000 people go through. But when they went through, they didn't go on soggy ground. The Bible says that land was dry. It was congealed, was the word. That was some dry land. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever you take water out of where water used to be, the ground is muddy. It's muddy, it's thick, and it's slippery. But they walked across on dry ground. Now that's a miracle. God did something for those people. But Joshua said, "Let me tell you something. In the middle of your sorrow, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your trial, when God moved this back, this is what I want y'all to do. Since there's 12 tribes right here, I want each one of the head of these tribes, I want you to grab a stone." Now watch this. Oh, you ain't ever going to forget this. Grab a stone when you're right in the middle of that water. That water was, grab a stone, because it's fixing to be a memorial. You're fixing to tell your kids and your grandkids and their grandkids what happened right here. When they looked upon that altar that was made, they said, "Where did these rocks come from?" They said, "Let me tell you a story. Those rocks didn't just come from the side. Those rocks came from in the middle where that water was at, because God stopped that water right there." And let me tell you something more. God will do it again. He'll do it again. So they made an altar. They made a memorial. They made a place where they could come back, and they could go back and they could look at it again and say, "God did it. God did it. God did it." Can you imagine 100 years, 150 years, 200 years later, 500 years later, they come back. What is that? Oh, that's the time whenever the children of Israel, they were fixing to go into the promised land. And Joshua said, "Why don't you grab you a stone while you went by?" Somebody needs to realize they're in the middle of the provisions of God, and they need to grab a stone to make an altar of remembrance, because they don't need to forget where God's brought them from. God's delivered people from alcohol, drugs, pornography, prostitution, and you don't need to forget where God brought you from. Don't you ever forget where God brought you out of. Don't you ever get a mightier than thou and a holier than thou attitude and you look up and say, "Well, God," just like Peter said, "Well, God, we've never been in bondage." And God told Peter, "Listen, you were in bondage in the time I met you, and I released you from that bondage." Hallelujah. And Peter said, "Well, wait a minute. Maybe I was in bondage." Yeah, you was in bondage, but God released you from that bondage. There ain't nobody in this house that's perfect, but we serve a God that is perfect and who has brought us out. Hallelujah. He's brought us out of this miry clay, reached down and dug us out and said, "You're mine. You belong to me. We don't need to forget that. Don't forget that. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, the Bible says, for some have entertained angels unaware. Sometimes God sends some people to your path that you don't know, that you've never seen, because He's trying to encourage you. I don't know who that's for, but He's trying to encourage you. He's trying to build you up. Because God, if it takes God dispatching an army of angels to keep you safe, guess what He's going to do? He's going to dispatch an army of angels to keep you safe, because that's how much love He has for you. That's what we talked about a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Verse 14 of chapter number 3. And it came to pass when the people were removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they bare the Ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For the Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above, there it is, stood and rose up. And in a heap. Let me tell you something. God is holy. And He deserves to be treated like He's holy. The waters stood up. The very waters stood up. Hallelujah. And I want you to go back and go down in Joshua 4, starting in verse number 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared for the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark. And the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone, and his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I imagine it wasn't a small stone. Because, you know, when you take a small stone, I remember as a kid living in Florida, the thing we would do for entertainment when we get to the mountains, we'd find us a stream. And we'd find a small rock. And we could always find the smallest and the flattest rock. And of course, me and my brothers and sisters, you have to have the competition how many skips you can get. How many times you can skip that rock? I got 2. I got 4. But you didn't have a witness, so it doesn't matter. You know? So I imagine when they went to pick out a rock, they said, you know what? We're not just going to get something small. We're going to get something big. And we're going to get something massive. And we're going to get something that really stands out. Because this ain't no small thing that God did. This is something huge that God did. This is something big that God did. Now think back on your life. Has God ever done anything for you? Has He brought you out of some junk? Has He delivered you? Has He healed your body? Has He made a way where there seemeth to be no way? Amen. He has done it and He'll do it again. It's time for us to build a memorial and say, God, You did it back there. And I know You're faithful. And You're going to do it again. Too many times we don't want to look back at that altar. We want to worry. We want to worry and lose sleep over worry. We want to think about and we want to worry about what's going to happen. And God said, but if you'll just look back of where I brought you from and look to where you're at now and look to a little bit further on to where you're going. You see, there's one thing I realize about driving at night. When you're driving at night and there's somebody coming at you, you have your low beam lights on. And you can see only a certain distance in front of you. When somebody passes, hopefully you do the polite thing. When somebody passes, you turn your bright lights on. And it brightens up everything further on. And you can see a little further down the road. We as Christians, we walk in a dark world. But it's time to shine our light a little bit farther up. A little bit farther. Too many Christians are looking right here. Are just looking right. And we're stumbling over everything. It's time to shine your light a little bit further. And see what you see. Because some people out there in the darkness are looking for the light. But too many times we want to put it right down at our feet. We want to see, well, don't show me what's down at my feet. Show me where I'm going. Amen. And show me a little bit further on. You mechanics, you ever had somebody holding the flashlight for you? I tell the boys all the time, I said, all right, hold it right here and hold it still. And they'll get to talking and it'll be, you know, it's like, hey, I'm over here. I can't see. You know, my fingers don't have eyeballs on them, you know. But they're not shining the light in the right place. We as Christians, we don't shine our light in the right place. We're not shining our light like we should be. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Why are we not sharing the Word? Why are we scared to share the Word? That Word is life. People need to hear that is life. Amen. People need to hear that there is a way. There is the right way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we're trying to come some other way, we're a thief and we're not going to enter in. That's just the way it is. Amen? But God brought him out. Go to Genesis chapter number 34. Moving a little bit in the Old Testament. Genesis, actually chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments." Verse number 3, "And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make..." Oh, hallelujah. "Let us arise." Bethel means the place of God. "Let us arise and go up to the place of God. Let us go unto the..." Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to spend some time in the house of God. I'm not talking about a church building. I'm talking about you need to spend some time in the presence of God. You need to put everything... Turn your phone off. Turn your computer off. Turn everything off to the outside world. And just get alone with you and God. Just let God talk to you. Just talk to God. Just pour out your heart. Pour out your dreams, your desires, your wants, your fear. Just pour out everything to God. He already knows it anyway. Just pour it out to God. And just say, "God, I need you. I need you. Let us go to Bethel." Jacob's name was Deceiver. He was a deceiver. It was tagged on him. It was on his back. His whole life he'd been a deceiver. His whole life he went around and he was called a deceiver. Your name is Jacob. That means deceiver. Because back then your name really meant something. You're a deceiver. He introduced himself. "What is your name?" "My name is..." I'm sure he was ashamed of it. "Jacob. My name is Jacob." But he said, "You know what? My heart is not a Jacob. My heart is not a Jacob. My heart is something else." And he had a strong desire for God. God said, "Arise and go back to Bethel. Remember the place where I met you. Go back to that altar and build it again. You tore it down before, but go back because you understand the significance of it now." He goes back to Bethel and watch what happens. Watch what God does when he goes back to Bethel. Now, the first time he was there, he was scared. He was running for his life because he stole his brother Esau's birthright. In verse number 4, "And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which is by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that they were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." Can somebody say, "Godly protection"? Godly protection. That right there was godly protection. You say, "God, how did I not get into a wreck?" Godly protection, because God watched out for you once again. Amen. "And they journeyed, and the terror of God was on them." Verse 6, "So Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother." And verse number 9, "And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob." But let me tell you something. "No more, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac..." Oh, come on, somebody. "To thee I will give it." Oh, hallelujah. "And to thy seed after will I give the land." And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Bethel. Oh, hallelujah. He went from sorrow to gladness. The children of Israel went from sorrow to gladness. Why do we have to go through things we go through, Brother Chris? To build our faith. That's why God takes us through some times where we're looking on both sides and all we see is water. But we're missing out on the miracle. All you can see sometimes when it seems like you're drowning. But God said, "I got you. I got you. Don't worry about this." But we miss out on the small details. We miss out that God parted the water so we can walk through. Oh, come on, somebody. He did it again. We miss out that the ground we're walking on is dry ground. We miss out on that. We miss out on that we're going somewhere. We're fixing to go somewhere. Hallelujah. Almost every song we've heard tonight talked about, I'm going to another city. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go. I got my treasures laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world. Keep your elections. Hallelujah. Because there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And you ain't got to vote him in. He is already in office. Hallelujah. He's sitting at the right hand throne of God. And he's interceding for you and me. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. People say, what do you say when you don't know what to pray? Say Jesus. Just say Jesus. That's all you got to say is Jesus. Hallelujah. We get in a situation where we want the water part of Jesus. And he's there. And he's there. Hallelujah. We don't look hard enough at the details. We don't look hard enough. Now they were sorrowful. They were crying, I'm sure. Some of them had a close bondage with Moses. Moses was a good guy. He was a godly man. He was. He told Joshua, set me on the rock so I can view the promised land. He got up in age and he said, just set me on the rock. I want to see it one time. I want to lay my eyes on it one time. Sometimes I come to myself and I say, just set me on the rock one time, God. I just want to see the promised land. I want to see what it looks like a little bit. Hallelujah. Just show me a glimpse of what it looks like, God. And God says, you know what? It's not going to be much longer. And your feet are going to be treading on that solid gold. And it's going to be more beautiful than anything you've ever seen. The song she sang a while ago said, reunions by the millions. Man, I think in my mind, what kind of reunion that's going to be. Hallelujah. Our lost loved ones, we're going to be reunited with them. We're not going to know them like they were before. They're going to have heavenly bodies. And I said before, I'm going to have a heavenly body. Hallelujah. And we're going to be worshiping the Lord. We're going to be praising the Lord. But we got to go through a little Jordan to get there. We got to go through a little Jordan to get there. How's God? Listen, He's brought us 40 years through that junk and through that garbage and through all that stuff. We forgot everything that He provided for us with manna. Amen. He brought us water. He made the ravens bring food to us when we were hungry. We forgot about all that stuff. But yet, here we are. What do we do, God? And we're wringing our hands and we're tolling. What do? You look back at the memorial. And you say, you know what? And in my mind's eye, I can see another group of Christians going to cross the Jordan. You know, and I can see that memorial. And they look down by that memorial and they say, God did it before. He's going to do it again. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. I'm at the age now where I have to write myself little notes to remind myself. And it's funny, I can write two words and I'll pick up and I'll remember exactly where I was going with that. But you know what? God puts things into our remembrance. And He brings them out of remembrance at certain times. We say, why did we start singing that song? Where did that song come? Where did that thought come from? It came from God. He pulled it back out of your remembrance and put you into remembrance. And said, I'm going to show you something that you might have forgot about. He showed me something about my... Now, the other testimony I have about Gabriel, I remember it was one Sunday afternoon. And we went out to a Chinese buffet type thing we went out to. We lived in Florida. And he ate. And after he ate, me and Tabitha both noticed something was wrong with him. He was just like a zombie. And I'll never forget, I toted him in the house after we got home. I toted him in the house and he was just kind of limp. And I set him down on the little ottoman that we had there in the trailer we lived in. And he was looking just like this. I said, Gabriel. Gabriel. Hey, Gabriel. And he was looking just like that. And I said, Tabitha, something is wrong with this child. Now we lived about 30 miles probably from the hospital. 42 miles from the hospital. Okay. We had just brought a brand new Suzuki SUV. And I had that thing on the floor going down two-lane roads. I'm talking about two-lane backwoods roads, trying to get that boy to the hospital. Tabitha said, he's not going to make it. 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 So long story short, we stopped in the middle of this, two-lane back road. And I pulled up to this house. I didn't know this guy no more than I knew anybody. And I said, look, I said, my son is in a bad shape. And something is bad wrong with him. We need to call an ambulance right now. they called an ambulance to him. The ambulance comes and said, well, there's nothing really we can do for him. He's not hurting as far as his life is in jeopardy. Just take him to the hospital. Took him to the hospital, found out he's allergic to onions. After a whole long story, he's allergic to onions. But God kept him alive. And God showed both me and Tabitha how he can take care of our sons. His hand is not small enough that it can't still take care of us. The very hand that formed and fashioned this world, put the stars in the sky, put the sun out there. And I can go on and on and on about how the solar system set up and how God set everything into place by just speaking it. God spoke, and there it was. He can still take care of us. Amen. Any need that we have that seems like it's monumentous, huge, any mountain, God can move it. God can move that. Because His hand is big enough to take care of that. But yet it's small enough to live inside of me. Amen. Don't ever forget what God's done for you. Don't ever forget where He's brought you from. And don't ever forget that you're a child of God. The devil's going to try and come against you and say, you're not, you're not, you're not. But God says, what God says is the final authority. What God says is the final. Listen, the devil can be just, yeah, 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 yeah. But you know what? When we say, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense. That's one thing we've not quite learned to master. We'll sit there and listen and listen and listen. You ever listen to the music when it's kind of staticky? It drives you nuts, right? Well, I can listen through that. My boys are like, Dad, come on, serious? If it's a good song, I'm listening through that. I'm blocking out that. But it drives them nuts, you know? Like, Dad, change the station. But you know what? Sometimes we can be so tuned in on what the devil's saying that we miss what God's trying to tell us.
Come on, man.
We completely miss what God's saying. And when we miss that, it's time to spend some one-on-one time with God.
That's right.
And
I'll go back up here. I'm fixing the finish. I know it. It went there.
Amen. But you know what?
God is good.
Amen.
God is faithful.
Yes, He
is. Don't ever forget that He loves you. Amen. If you get a chance this week, go back and really study Joshua chapter 4. There's a lot of stuff there. I'm not going to hold you all night long. This ain't an all night prayer meeting yet. It could be, amen. But if there's one thing that God really impressed on me, it's an altar of remembrance. God, don't ever let me forget. Don't ever let me forget that Your grace and Your mercy and Your love and Your goodness was enough for me. Don't ever let me forget that You went all the way down the Via Dolorosa, the Trail of Tears, as it's called, and Your blood was shed for my sins. Don't let me ever forget that. And God, don't let me ever forget that You love me with a love that surpasses any love that I ever known. That blows my mind. You know, when the boys were first born, everybody would say, oh, it's almost like you grow another heart and you love so much, you know. And when you're married and you love that person, it's, man, I could just eat them up. Sometimes you wish you could eat them up. Anyway, I'm kidding. But you say, I could just eat them up. And then when you hold your son or your daughter for the first time, it's like, I understand what they're saying. It's like I grew a whole other heart. And to feel that level of love, but to know the level of love that God has for us, is unbelievable. Listen, when I was dead in sin, He still died for me. He still died for you. And when you go out on the street and when you look at that person that looks like they're just the most undeserving person, remember that God died for them too. God died for them too, just like He died for you. He's not a respecter of persons. Amen? And He loves us. Every once in a while, we need to build those altars of remembrance. Don't forget where He's brought you from. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all that You do, Lord. Father, Lord, I just thank You for Your presence that I feel right now. Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit, for Your freedom that I feel in this house, Lord.